Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the March 28th Five Aces Coach. You know, one of the things that is fun every once in a while is to get together and go over some of the things that we're actually doing. And in this case, I want to talk about a couple of, well, during the last part of 2021, I took on two seemingly unrelated cases. One was a pet and the other a child. Now, both had neurological symptoms began shortly after inoculations. In the case of the autistic child, I had initial success, but on or about the first full moon after I began, he lost all the progress we made, and I had no success thereafter. And I used all my custom reagents and all my energy tools, but I just could not replicate that initial success. The other case is a pet with epileptic-type seizures. And we started by switching him to 100% raw diet. Then I built a pair of custom reagents, and the seizures stopped. When I removed him from the instrument, the seizures began again, and putting him back on the replicator stopped the seizures. But when I moved him over to the beacon, he had cluster seizures again. Again, this was around the full moon. Now, the beacon is more powerful than the replicator, and both had perfect spiral antennas. And it's my belief that there's a subtle but significant difference between balancing with the reagents and the witnesses in the same well, as opposed to having the separate well configuration of the replicator. And it's going to take a little bit more research to decide just exactly what's going on there. But in this case, and this is the first time that I've seen this, the replicator does a superior job. Now, the only two frequency packages I used with the pet were a custom Divine Essence and a custom Restore from Divine Blueprint. Now, since the episodes resumed when I stopped work, that indicates I had not found or resolved the cause of the issue and was simply suppressing the symptoms. And after the last episode, I gave a hand to look deeper into the cause. I already knew it was related to vaccinations, and I knew it had something to do with toxins. Now, in the case of the pet, I considered that as he was losing weight on the raw diet, the fat was releasing toxins as it was being burned. But that didn't provide the answers that I needed. And even working at the inception point produced only minimal results. My dowsing indicated there was a silica-based parasite of an origin outside this dimension. And that would explain why the physical approaches weren't successful, and since time is a function of this dimensional space, the inception point approach didn't work either. However, since it was here, it could be described by the mathematical formulation. It would also have a fractality. And since all fractals can be described by their mathematical derivation, it would have a fractal factor. In addition, since this parasite was interdimensional, that fractal factor would have a complex component, i.e. an imaginary number. And when I derived the fractal factor for the parasite, I found it had two unique characteristics. One, it was indeed a complex number. And two, it had two digits before the decimal point. And every other fractal factor I had worked with only had one digit in front of the decimal point. After applying the fractal factor to the pet, I doused and found that the same parasite was in the child. Now, the fractal factor suppressed the parasite, but I didn't have the feedback to see if it was eliminated. And that's when I contacted an associate of mine to get some verification on my dowsing results so I know that I'm on a useful path of research. Now, my theory being that a silica-based parasite produces a piezoelectric charge when stressed, which aggravates the neurological symptoms of the host. Further, since animals use silica to transmute into needed minerals, when the parasite is alive, the host would be prone to silica deficiency symptoms. Then, as the silica becomes deficient, the parasite becomes more active, resulting in aggravated symptoms. Further, since the moon has high silica content, then it's reasonable to expect increased parasitic activity during the full moon. So one of the questions I asked my associate was whether these two cases were silica deficient, and she indicated they were. She also indicated that the parasite was a major contributing factor to the issues, but not the only factor. And then she'd said that this parasite was not from this dimension. And that was all an important verification of my work. She then worked to clear the parasite from the two subjects and send the entire species, a parasite, back to its home dimension. She explained her visualizations was a picture of a carrot being held in the other dimension and coaxing the parasites to go after the carrot. Then she sealed the connection. Her insight showed that that same parasite had widely infected many vaccines, including those of swine. So during her work, she referenced worksheets she uses from Raymond Grace, as well as other leading questions. Her focus was not just on improving the situation, but resolving it. So after clearing the parasite, she carefully checked to see if there's anything else that needed done. When she got a yes, we doused to find out what it was and then resolved that as well. And of course, she's an amazing healer, and that goes without saying. But there are two points here. First, none of us is infallible. When we need help, there are people ready and willing to help us if we ask. Second, our instruments are extraordinarily powerful, and the flexibility of the human mind allows you to move faster, and for small projects, it could be a more efficient way to deal with an issue. And there are a lot of strange things in this world, and the more we really look into what we're seeing, the more you realize that much of what you've been taught conceals more than it reveals. My family have been Masons for generations. The odd and arcane rituals make little sense until you study deeply into esoteric works. Only then can you begin to understand what these rituals teach. They conceal more than they reveal, and our history does exactly the same. Read histories written before the First World War and those written afterwards, and they are completely different. Modern writings are different again. Each revision hides more of the truth. The standard translation of the Bible into English is another example. Every translation hides and conceals more. The Lamsa translation goes back and translates from the Aramaic. Now, while it's not perfect, it's easy to pick up on many of the things that are hidden. And here's just one. The word the King James versions translate to Savior more accurately translates to teacher from the Aramaic. Now take that one word difference and see how that changes the popular Christian teachings we see in America. My point is, these lies and obfuscations are present throughout our culture, in history, in religion, and in science. They form much of the basis for our views and our perspectives. Worse than just hiding the truth, they hide it in such a way we can't even see that it's hidden, and that's precisely why our work is so important. It's also why the very best of us constantly try to learn as much as we can from as many sources as we can. The simple process of finding the silica-based parasite is just a matter of asking questions. Our education would tell us all life here is carbon-based, so the idea of a silicon-based life form is off the table. Our culture teaches us our reality is just what we see, so we ignore anything outside the linear time, and we don't consider the possibilities of interdimensional phenomena. That's why relying on left-brain logic can leave us stranded. My approach is simply to just start asking questions and see where those questions lead. You know, is the cause of the issue internal or external? Is it physical, emotional, or spiritual, toxin or nutrient, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Each answer leads to another question, and down the rabbit hole you go. You trust your dowsing, and you don't stop to judge the answers until you get to the root of the issue. Then if your work looks too weird to be true, ask a colleague to verify your results. And that's how we make the breakthroughs in our work. We suspend judgment. We test and validate our results. Years ago, I worked out the embryonic cell cluster work and the power factor. I have no idea if any of my work has been validated by mainstream science, and I don't care either. I get excellent results when I use it, and that's validation enough. In the recent work with the parasite, again, All I care about are the results. And so far, it's working. You can tell me I'm wrong if you like. You can fault my logic and even accuse me of quackery. Okay. But I still have the results, and that's what we strive for. Science is here to explain what we see and help us predict what we may see. If our work disagrees with current scientific theories, it isn't our work that's wrong. Our challenge is to look past our limitations and the limitations imposed upon us and work in areas that are not currently explained or accepted, and that's where we get results. In these two cases, I have two very happy clients. The boy is showing improvement, and the pet is seizure-free. Now, if I find that my conclusions were wrong, so be it. The results are still there, and that just means I need more work in discovering why. Let me go ahead and open the meeting. And those are just two of the latest projects that I've worked on, and certainly there's dozens, if not hundreds, of more examples, and I'm sure most of you that have been doing this work, for some time, have examples of your own. And the reason that I brought those out was not to impress anybody, but simply to give you an idea of this is how I approach a problem, and when I approach it this way, I often get good results. Now, starting this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I'll be down in Atlanta working with Ed Kelly. We're going to be teaching the basic class over the weekend and then an intermediate and advanced class on Monday and Tuesday. If you haven't got your seat, give Ed a call and let him know that you're coming. And if you need instruments, again, let him know so that we can make sure that we have the instruments on hand. This is going to be an opportunity for you, especially in the intermediate and advanced, to really get some hands-on testing done. So not only are you going to be building a reagent, but then you're going to be testing it. And when you potentize something, then we're going to be testing it. And we're going to be working and testing. Because until you test something, then you really don't know. But after you've tested it and you've seen the changes that have come across because of that work, that's when things really start happening for you.
Did he have his...
All right.
Wow, they're going to be doing a reagent and testing it. No, at Atlanta.
There we go. All right. And let's see, we had some background noise there. All right, any questions or comments? Anybody got anything they'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, that was an impressive summary. Appreciate that. Is that something you often find when you get to a stumbling block or a supposed dead end? Do you then pick up some old books, or where do your creative juices start flowing to come up with the potential questions?
You're absolutely right, and seriously, the biggest thing is just to kick into neutral, and so you've got this whatever issue is in the background, and you're kind of stumped. Kick it into neutral, and then see what book jumps off the shelf for you. Look over at the books and go, oh, and grab that one. In this case, I had gotten to the point where these answers are really weird. I needed to get some kind of verification that I was, not just fooling myself. And not only the verification, but I needed that other perspective as well. And I'm sure that we all have those go-to people that we can call and bounce things off of. And I'm fortunate that I've got several people in my Rolodex that I can do that with, so that if I get too far down the rabbit hole, they can say, hey, wait a minute, that's not what I'm getting. Or they go, yeah, that's really weird, that's exactly what I'm getting. This the other thing is, and one of the things that I routinely do when I come up with a new reagent is that I've got several people that are able to simply pull that reagent, that frequency in, if I just hold it in my hand. And so I'll build one, and then I'll call, you know, one of them and say, hey, what do you think of this that I'm holding in my hand? And I'll get the impressions immediately, you know, from people that have no bias whatsoever as to what may be going on with the, you know, with that reagent. So, yeah, that phone a friend thing, yeah, I really kind of like that. Anything else for the good of the cause tonight?
I have a simple question, Marty. I have a frequency generator. Can I use Rife frequencies on that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But, you know, anything like that, just check to make sure it's doing what you want it to do.
Okay.
Now, in June, I've been invited to be the keynote dowser speaker for the American Society of Dowsers Convention in Plymouth, New Hampshire, and that promises to be a good time.
Well, that's
I
an
just
honor,
heard
too,
from
isn't
the
it?
Folks. I'm sorry, what?
I said that's an honor, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I'm glad to be able to not only you know, support the dowsers, but it's nice to be able to be recognized sometimes for the work that you are doing. And I did hear from the folks in Rapid City, and they're going with a completely different lineup this year. So I don't know who the speakers are going to be or the presenters. So I'll be on the sidelines watching at the Rapid City event this coming October. But other than that, there's really not a lot of classes going on that I'm going to be associated with, or I'm thinking about maybe trying to get something put together in the Chicagoland area, but that's still, you know, way up in the air, and that probably would be, you know, early fall before we got that going anyway. But anyway, any other questions or comments tonight?
Hi, Marty. I'd like to hear all those questions that led to that answer.
Well,
that's pretty far out there.
One of the things it is far out there, and one of the things that I really enjoy about being out here on the farm is that, you know, many times, you know, either if I'm driving or I'm running a piece of equipment, if it doesn't take a lot of attention, then I can douse, you know, well, basically my left brain is busy driving, then my right brain can just go question after question. And I'm putting together a standardized list, but again, you know, it's not a lot different than what we talked about in the email. You know, we start off, you know, is the cause internal or external? You know, physical, spiritual, emotional, is it theirs? You know, is it a toxin or a nutrient? And in this case, okay, well, it's a, you know, there was an issue with a nutrient. Well, and then you start going down the list. You know, calcium, no. And boom, 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 you know, you start, and that's where it really helps to have some background in some nutrition. And, you know, and then you start, you know, again, you just boom, 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 and keep going. Okay, it's a pathogen. All right, there's a pathogen in there. Okay, well, is the pathogen fungal? No. Is it viral? No. Is it, you know, is it, you know, is it bacterial? Yes. Well, what? You know, what? Okay.
Well, you know, that is a lot of questions.
And it is a tremendous amount of questions. And if you start judging the answers before you get to the end, that really cuts you off from asking more questions. And so I'm not saying that, you know, if I had the microscope, you know, that I could, you know, pull up and I could find exactly what that, you know, little silicon-based parasite looked like. But what I can tell you is that whatever was there, it's not there anymore. and both the puppy and the child are doing better as a result of it. And so, sometimes we just have to step outside the left logical brain and go, you know what? I'm not really sure I understand all this, but it works.
Are you finding that there's a lot of interdimensional or extra-dimensional influences?
There's an awful lot of spiritual stuff. I do know that. And this is the first interdimensional parasite that I've run across. But some people dwell a lot more with the spiritual and the entities and the rest of that than I do. I look at them mostly as just beings that are, looking for, basically looking to survive. And, whether they're needing additional energy or whatever they're needing. And like most beings, they're looking at targets of opportunity. And so if someone is weak physically, emotionally, or spiritually, they're more likely to be attacked and basically fed on by these type of parasites than those that are not.
Wow. Hmm. Well, that makes sense. In one of your calls, you talked about a low-power broadcast array. Is that like a Radionics power pod?
Yep. Very similar to that. But instead of the power pod, then I'll put one of the Sage devices around that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll put one of his little spear things around that, and that gives a little more power. But that's mm-hmm. exactly. And many times a low-power device, low-power broadcast over a long period of time can make a big, big difference. And I liken it to, if the ship is leaving England, heading to America, and that compass is just 1 degree off, by the time it gets to America, it's not going to be landing in New York. If it's just 1 degree off, it could end up in Miami.
Okay. Okay,
right.
Thank
Anything
you.
Anything else for the good of the cause tonight? Sorry I talked over you there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you can make it to Atlanta, would love to see you there. And if not, when we get back, then I'll get everybody up to date on the newest stuff that everybody has brought to the Atlanta class. And hopefully we'll have some new stuff. And, if you're starting your spring work with your fields and your gardens and whatever, right now, here in the Midwest, where there's lots of frost still happening, this is a great time to germinate all of those annual weeds. If we get all those little annual weeds to germinate right now and they get frosted off in the next couple weeks, perfect. Now's a great time to go ahead and try to wake up those earthworms and get them moving. And if you've been broadcasting to attract, seed-eating rodents into your field or gardens, now's the time to try to get those rodents to go somewhere else. Because they've already done whatever they could do for you. So just an awful lot that we can start doing and start broadcasting to get our fields and our gardens ready for the spring, because it's almost here in the Midwest. And my guess is for those of you that are down, Florida way, gosh, you're probably halfway to summer by now. But anyway, hopefully we can see you in Atlanta. And if not, thank you for joining us tonight. And we'll be back. Let's see, it is going to be we'll be back on the 11th. All right, so it'll be 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.